I'm going to ask you if you would turn back to the book of Acts one more time, please. And we're just going to visit it for just a short moment today. You recall in the book of Acts, chapter 15, in our last study, following once again this path. This path that our Lord has for Peter, an apostle of Christ. We were blessed with a sermon by Peter addressing those who had arose in the church, a sect of the Pharisees, as Scripture called it, who believed it needful to impose the laws of Moses on this new brethren, these ones who were Gentiles. It is good, they would say, to receive grace, but you must also now follow the law. You must also be circumcised. You must also eat not, touch not. You must also observe this, observe that. They were taking the law, the yoke of the law, the very thing that brings God's people to know they deserve God's wrath, and they were hanging it around the necks of those who the Lord has shined His grace in their hearts. It is not of anything that I can do. It is not of anything that you can do. It is by the grace of God that we're saved. And it is by His grace alone. That's our message to the people that come into our lives, those that we have the ability and the blessing of crossing paths with. And yet there are some who will come into the church and say, you must do this still. You must do that. You must get up and make a decision. You must come to the front and prayer. You must get into the waters of baptism. You must take of this. You must do that. You must do this. They want to take grace and make works of it. You know, that's the same word as lasciviousness. It's making wickedness. It's taking the grace of God, which is pure and holy, and making it into wickedness by man's works. They completely obliterate what the word grace means. Folks, we are either saved by grace or we are doomed to our own iniquities. Look with me again, if you would, at verses 7 through 11 of Acts chapter 15. And when there had been much disputing, you recall that there had been apostles and elders that came together, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Now, you folks have been waiting for this for quite a while. It's been asked of me, John, how much longer are we going to go? There is one other spot in the book of Colossians where Paul is addressing those who are trying to bring in the works of religion into the church of grace. And he had to approach Peter and come front to front with Peter, face to face, about something Peter had done. And we've already looked at those verses, so we're going to skip over those and we're going to go right to 1 Peter. We're there. 109 lessons ago, we began this path that Peter was on. To see how our Lord brought Peter through the experiences of grace to come to this point where he writes this letter that we're about to start. I was asked, how long do you think we'll be in these two letters of Peter? And I'm going to tell you right now, it could be another 102 lessons. There's that much good stuff here. It points to our Lord and Savior. Folks, I don't know if God has in me another 102 weeks, but if he does, it's always going to be about him. I know we're talking about Peter, but we're talking about God's grace in Peter's life. We're talking about the weaknesses of the flesh and how our Lord gives us grace to deal with those weaknesses. And what a better man could we have than Peter of Scriptures to show us that grace, that love that our Lord has for mankind, for his people. I'd like you to read with me, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. If that gives you a little setting about the speed of getting through this book, it might be even a little faster than what you might think. verses 1 and 2 of the first epistle of Peter, we read, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Did you notice something? He calls himself an apostle. He doesn't call himself the Pope. He doesn't make himself any bigger than what God has made him. I have gotten used to, and it was very difficult to say this about myself, Pastor John. You and I just had this conversation, didn't we? Didn't we, Polly? You know?
No more Pastor John.
I have a difficult time with it. Peter had the same thing. He was a very powerful man in the church at that time. In all the church of Jerusalem. So powerful that the Catholic religion made him the first pope ever, even though he had nothing to do with it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, God's people, who had been scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, those who are called according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, there's a whole bunch that we're going to stop and look at very carefully in these two verses. But not today. I want to quote for you some things that were brought out by a man by the name of Riley. R-I-L-E-Y. Not J.C. Ryle, but another man by the name of Riley. I'm not sure who he is, but I read carefully what he wrote, and I'd like to share with you some things. It has been claimed, he says, that you could construct a biography. And this is what caught my eye about this, because that's what we've been doing. That's what we've been doing for the last 109 weeks. We've been constructing a biography of what Peter has had to go through, right? So he says, you could construct a biography of Peter from this epistle. Christ had called him a stone. That was when he called him, thy name is Simon, now your name is going to be Peter. Thou shalt be called Peter. That's what that word Peter means, a stone. Doesn't mean the stone. For Christ Jesus is the stone that the church is built on. Christ Jesus is the foundation from which the church is built on. But he goes on to say, he turns and speaks of his fellow saints, Peter does, in this epistle, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he calls them lively stones. So you see, as we look at Peter in a bigger biographical type, in a way, we see where, yeah, Peter was called a stone, and then he turns and he calls his brothers and sisters lively stones in chapter 2, verse 5. Christ had reproved him, speaking of Peter, for drawing his sword and striking the high priest's servant. You'll recall that. You remember that story. And he reminds his readers, Peter does, he reminds you and I, that if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, This is acceptable of God. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. You recall the maid who questions, aren't you one of the disciples? Aren't you one of those who was with the Lord Jesus, that man who they're getting ready to crucify, that man who they're taking to Pontius Pilate? Aren't you one of those? When she had questioned, Peter answered with confusion and denial, and in the memory of it, and thinking back upon that, he urges you and I, his brethren. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Suddenly overtaken by temptation, Peter himself, he urges, beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. We don't want to think of these trials that come our ways as something strange. Like, oh my goodness, why is this happening to me? I know why it's happening, because my Lord has brought it for my good. Peter says in chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. And then being commanded to feed the sheep, he says to you and I, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, feed the flock of God. That's in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, 2. Again, having once been a man of boasting, only to be humbled by his own conduct, Peter urges upon his brethren, be clothed in humility. That's in 1 Peter 5, 5. And then we're given one more example of that biography of Peter. And having been the subject of Satan's successful attacks, Peter pleads. He pleads with you and I in chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, this is what we have been come to see. This has been our study for these past 9 weeks. What is the Apostle Peter's mindset as he is led to pen these very words we just saw? And we open with his claim, an apostle of Christ. Notice that he did not claim to be a vicar. He did not claim to be the pope. He did not claim to be the head of the church. But an apostle, a servant, a messenger, one who had been sent. Not only was he was sent with power. With power from the sender. Turn over to Acts chapter 3, if you will. Mark our place there in 1 Peter. I think we might come back to that today, but we'll see. Turn back over to Acts, if you would. Chapter 3. The apostles were given power to cast out devils, to heal the sick and palsy, and even raise some from the dead. But as messengers, they always gave God the glory, for they knew that it was not of themselves. It's the same thing for a preacher in today's world. I go about preaching the Word of God. It's the Word of God that saves people. It's the Word of God that heals the lame. It's the Word of God that makes people walk. It's the Word of God that gives people ears. It must be led by the Spirit. If it just comes from me, it's just coming from a man. And I would never say, I saved that person. I've had the blessings of James Looper coming to the Lord, I think, under my ministry. Have you heard me once say, I saved James? I raised him from the dead? No, because God's preachers know that that can only be done by God. And his apostles were the same. They were no different. There was no power in them by themselves. always gave God the glory, declaring it was by his power that these miracles were performed. You may recall these words. We read them once already, but we'll read them again. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Peter and John had went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And this is what every one of God's preachers, every one of his apostles, every one of his people, not just those who stand here in the pulpit, but you folks as well. What do you do when you go to speak to those who do not know the Lord? Have you heard about God? I don't have anything that can help you, but my Lord has everything. He has all that you would need. Continuing on in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, speaking of the lame man. And he, leaping up and stood, in verse 8, and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now we're going to come to a point here. I want you to look with me carefully. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham," who is Peter giving the one credit that you and I give. He's given the glory to the only one who deserves credit. It's to the Lord Jesus, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see now. The faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, let me turn the page. We also may recall these words. When Peter had entered the house of Cornelius, you recall, we just read this just a couple of weeks back. You'll remember Cornelius fell at the feet of Peter, and he began to worship him. Do you recall the words that Peter gave at that point? Do you remember those words? I'll remind you. Acts chapter 10, verse 26. But Peter took him. He took him up. He said, "Stand up. I myself also am a man. What are you doing getting down on your knees worshiping me? It wasn't me. It was God Almighty. Everything we have done, you and I, of any good at all, is because of our Lord. All we have has been given to us by Him. He must increase." This is the mindset of every child of God. We may not give Him the glory as we should, as we would care to at times, but as we grow in grace and the knowledge of Him, in time, we will come to give it all to Him. Peter's claim is as all those who have been called, those who have had the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. His claim is as a servant. We have been sent to let the light shine forth. Our declaration is this: salvation is of the Lord. Our declaration is this: by His stripes we are healed. And our declaration is this: His love is eternal and effectual. Amen. I'd like to ask you to stand with me if you would, please.